Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage where we'll throw it at a wall and see if it sticks. I'm Joel, a man who puts the verve in perverse, and across from me is John Harris, a man who counts marshmallows, car headlamps, and battered cod amongst his greatest joys in life. Plus, joining us today is film critic extraordinaire Rhianna Dillon. How are you, Rhianna?
Hi, I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Very well, very
good.
Well.
Thank you for having me.
John, you're here. Can we hear your voice?
Hello, I'm also here. Still going.
How you doing, mate?
Fine, thanks, mate.
I'm glad to hear it.
Normally we sit across from each other. Today I'm sitting like next to you.
What?
You don't look hugely comfortable, I'll be honest.
You could apply that to any moment of John's life at all. You can't look relaxed.
Oh no. Oh, this is awkward.
It's hot, isn't it? A
the
horrible
chairs
thing
in
to watch.
The studio,
it's like you've got like you're sitting
like
on a hedgehog.
They're like 1960s
the chairs
shuffling
like
about.
Flower things.
People were so chilled in the 1960s. Regardless
That's
of furniture.
Because they were all high.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are you not?
I'm not. Should I have been?
Oh, did you not get the email beforehand?
Oh, God.
John, should we pitch some films? Have you got a film idea for us?
Yeah, this one's from Lem. Brokeback Fountain. So
good.
I assume that we get rid of the nuanced portrayal of homosexual cowboys and we bring a tiny fountain that they have to bend over to get to.
Or a water fountain. Just like a little kind of...
But it's so
one
low.
One that you have in a school corridor.
Yeah.
But it's a bit too low for them, so they're getting back injuries.
So it breaks their back. I thought the back of the fountain was broken. Maybe there was some sort of spillage happening.
So, two plumbers.
Yep.
Who are married, one's married. Is it what? One's married? What?
Oh, are you talking about actual Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah.
I like that you're looking at me. I actually fell asleep in Brokeback Mountain because I thought it was so dull. I know it's not a particularly popular opinion.
I've never seen
sorry.
It.
Yeah, I've never seen the end because I'm asleep.
So what happens is they go to a school and there's a fountain that doesn't work.
And they repair it.
And they fix it together. And that is
Where's the back that's broken? Where does that come into it, though?
Well, it's either the back of the person consuming the water because it's so low, which is what I thought it was, but Joel suggested the fountain's broken.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah,
I've got it.
The back of the fountain is broken.
Sorry, I'm being hugely slow.
When I was a child, somebody pushed my head into one of those fountains and I chipped my front tooth.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Broken tooth fountain. It doesn't quite have the same ring, though.
Yeah. Brokeback Molar.
Would you call... Is that the name of your biopic?
What, the tooth? Something about the tooth? It's going to be like a footnote in my memoirs, probably.
Yeah?
Yeah, in my list of people that have wronged me.
it's
dedication. And most people don't know they've wronged me. But in subtle ways, they've wronged me, yeah.
Will there be dedications and then people you've got vendettas against?
That's a good point. Like half
yeah.
people I quite like have done nice things to me, and then the second half,
where will John come in that?
Oh,
both lists.
Most pages. Yeah. It'd be in the index. It will say John, and there'll be a long list of page numbers in the times he's wronged me.
Oh dear.
Actually, I could probably just write a book about just general people that have wronged me, and then a sequel just about the times John's wronged
me. Yeah. That sounds good.
In your memoirs, would there be any beefs?
Oh my God, so many. I do not forgive people easily. So if someone doesn't smile at me once, then that's it. They're literally struck off.
Yeah. That's quite terrifying.
I know.
Grinning from ear to ear for this. This record.
Luckily, you're both very like smiley, jolly people, so it's fine.
Have you got any ideas, Joel?
Yeah, I've got one here. It's from a guy called Joe. And Joe's observed that we are effectively, if you think of Back to the Future, Back to the Future is a great movie. I don't know if you've heard of it.
You did mention it, actually, already.
I did indeed. I'm not sure if that bit will make the recording. But just for the record, I'm always talking about Back to the Future. So Joe's got in touch to say that, guys, we never actually came back from the second timeline in Back to the Future 2.
Right.
So Marty McFly goes back, and essentially a Donald Trump figure rules the world.
Oh, what you're saying, this reality is...
You know, the dark timeline.
Yeah.
Where he goes back to.
And we're in it.
We're in it. And he's saying that, effectively, maybe Marty McFly's in some sort of coma, I don't know, but we never came back from that dark timeline.
But Marty McFly was then in The Good Wife, so he is back, but he's quite evil in that.
Wow.
So maybe it's like an alternate, oh my God, it's also
it's
like
the worst timeline.
Yeah, we're in the darkest timeline, essentially.
But they got cool stuff like shiny hats and hoverboards.
No.
Oh, is that a different timeline?
You know what I'm talking about. You know Back to the Future as well as me, right?
So, no.
In Back to the Future 2...
Did you watch it as research for today's episode?
I wish I had. I didn't know it was going to come up this often. I know Back to the Future 1 very well.
Okay, so...
Back to the Future 2, not so well.
I watch the trilogy maybe weekly for worship. and even the third, it's great. In the second one...
great, by any standards.
Okay, you're added to the list of people that have wronged me. in the second one... He goes to the future. They've got... It's your kids, Marty. Something's got to be done about your kids. Mm. They don't do it. Biff steals the sports almanac and goes back to the 50s. So Marty McFly goes back to the 80s, and it's all changed because Biff had that list of sports results who was able to bet and earn an unbelievable amount of money.
Now he's a millionaire.
And in that alternate 1980s, he's killed Marty's dad, and he's essentially Donald Trump. Like, he's got the same hair, the same look. He's got a Trump-esque tower.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually remarkably prescient of the writers about the future.
So what do they do to save the day? Are you suggesting in the real world we need to do what happens at the end of Back to the Future 2?
Yeah.
And then go to a Western?
And then we need to go to
no,
a Western.
No,
yeah.
No. Oh. No Westerns.
I'm pitching Back
they
to the Future 4.
They weren't great for women, I'll be honest.
Yeah, that's a very
or
good point.
Or any people of colour. So I would
also
be screwed.
A very good point. Okay, so how
I
about...
I hate your idea, Joel.
So how about I'm pitching... Look, if they can keep making Star Wars trilogies... and they will. Where's Back to the Future 4, 5 and 6? Back to the Future, A New Hope.
I think they lost all hope. Wasn't that
Yeah. I don't think.
Right.
You or Joe.
Yeah, the fictional...
It says
this guy.
Joe. There's a brackets L. It's just you, mate. We all know.
Fine. Give me your next idea.
What about this one? The Hitman's Bodyguard's Minder. Did anyone see The Hitman's Bodyguard?
No.
Oh, the guy... The
Ryan Reynolds.
Samuel Jackson, yeah.
No.
Universally panned.
That's why we didn't see it.
Well, I assume it's about a hitman's bodyguard. So, like, you've got a hitman, he's got a bodyguard. How do you... The sequel, his minder, whoever looks after that guy.
Who looks
it's
after
It's a Russian
who?
Doll situation.
Who is he looking after here? Sorry.
The bodyguard.
Is he looking after the hitman?
Yeah, that's the film. And then this one from Fern, which is the sequel, is that bodyguard's minder.
Yeah.
So the person looking after that
Thinking Vin Diesel in that role.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah,
you know, like he was in The
to.
Pacifier.
Yeah.
Like that sort of, I can imagine him.
So I think Ryan Reynolds was the bodyguard and Samuel L. was the hitman?
I would have seen it as the other way around.
Isn't there famously a huge shootout in Coventry in that film?
What?
Yeah, like a lot of the action happens in Coventry.
And it was panned?
Yeah.
I mean...
I know. Can you believe it?
Are you sure we're talking about the same film?
All right, more action films starring Sam Jackson in Coventry, I think, is the take home from that. I think, look, the satellite cities of the UK need more prominence in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking The Rock and Vin Diesel in Basingstoke.
We just bring Fast and Furious to Basingstoke.
Yeah. No, Swindon. Have you seen the roundabouts in Swindon? Fast and Furious in, like, navigating the roundabouts
Milton Keynes, yeah, I think that would work.
I swear I heard someone... In a podcast, probably, that's mostly what I do. They were explaining that you can't really do car chase films in, like, London because there's just not long enough expansive
roads. So much traffic.
Yeah.
Is that why?
So, but we could try and make it work. What other transport could you use?
I mean, they
use?
Did do a Fast and Furious film in London.
Joel and I have a confession to make.
You've never seen a Fast and Furious film?
We love The Rock.
That's it, that's our confession. Okay?
Okay, great, let's move on.
I love The Rock. I saw Jumanji the other day.
Jumanji is really fun.
I really enjoyed it.
I did.
But I tell you what, I've always wondered, right? Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Who loves Kevin Hart?
Nobody.
Well,
but
I was in the
apparently
cinema.
Apparently, every fucking body.
I was in the cinema. Every time Kevin Hart was on screen or moved or spoke, there were like howls of laughter. Like even when he said someone else's name, people were going, like, people were just like cheering and whooping for Kevin Hart. And I was like, oh, this is why Kevin Hart's a thing. Like there's this secret Kevin Hart fan base. Maybe the only, it's like only in the darkness of a cinema that no one can see me laughing at Kevin Hart.
That's so interesting. That's such a good theory. I think you're absolutely right, because I've not met a single person in the flesh who will admit to being a fan of his.
Is it like coriander, where, you know, some people hate it and some people love it and nobody understands each other's position on it?
And I love that you went for coriander and not the classic Marmite.
Yeah. What's that go-to food stuff that kind of is a real love or hate vibe? I know what it is. It's coriander.
Such a hipster. Okay, so we're saying Kevin Hart's coriander.
Yeah, is that your film pitch?
Yeah, I quite like that.
Kevin Hart's coriander.
Yeah, I like that. That's good fun. Give me another one, John.
What about this one? Have you seen Coco, the Pixar film?
Oh my God, I saw it this weekend. Goodness. I did a Q&A with the director last night. It was... ask me anything about Coco.
Yeah.
What about the film Glen Coco?
No, I haven't seen that, funnily enough.
What's happening here?
So I assume the guy who gets multiple candy canes in Mean Girls... He gets is it candy canes he gets? Yeah, because he comes to Santa Claus and he goes, "You go, Glen Coco, two for you."
Yeah.
So it's him.
The most niche reference I've ever heard.
Is Coco the one about Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah.
So
it's Day of the Dead.
Oh yeah, okay.
Dia dos Muertos.
Nice.
You see what I did there, Joe? You asked a question about the film Coco, and I answered. When literally opposite us is someone.
Chair, Q&A, the director.
I'm so sorry.
No, you guys carry on.
Oh God, I'm sorry. Kill me.
So Glen Coco's dead. Is that the premise?
Yeah.
No, what was the actual? Was it just called Glen Coco?
Yeah, it just says Glen Coco. It's from Neil.
Cheers, Neil.
That is good of Neil. It's one of the fundamental issues of this podcast is we don't request like any description of what happens in the film.
That's your guy's job, right? That's where you come in.
Yeah, but it does mean that sometimes there have been times where I've got them and looked and thought they've just written two words. I don't know what to do. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's just a fun idea that the character from Mean Girls who got two candy canes is somehow linked to the Pixar film.
The Day of the Dead. Mm. Yeah, that would be quite fun.
What next for Pixar?
What do you mean? Where are they going to go?
After death.
More life?
Because they went Inside Out was pretty.
You're suggesting that there's some sort of progression between the films, like they're linked in some way. Like, oh, now they've done death. That's the end of Pixar.
But I think they are exploring more adult themes.
I think they've always explored quite adult. Well, Disney always have, haven't they?
Yeah, true.
Certainly more than Pixar.
Yeah, but I feel like Inside Out and Coco, that's pretty, it's pretty out there.
Yeah, and Toy Story 3, don't forget.
Yeah, exactly.
Cars 3.
Just that was incredibly deep. That really plumbed the depths.
It stayed with me, actually, more than any other Disney Pixar.
I just don't know what there's left to fill after you've given kids death.
They will definitely find something.
What's the famous fact where in the same meeting they came up with Finding Nemo, Monsters, Inc. and Wall-E or something in, like, the same one meeting?
That meeting was 4 months long.
Yeah. I don't know. You feel like they might have, like, pitched all these different ideas at the same meeting, but those ideas would have been, like, bubbling away for a long, long time somewhere else before that.
And what do you mean came up with? All right, a fish gets lost. A robot gets lost. What was the third one?
Monsters, Inc.
A little girl gets lost.
Yeah, a little girl gets lost. Hang on.
Oh, actually, maybe you're right, John. Maybe they did all get lost in the same meeting. I take it all back.
just give three post-its to their writers. So, yeah, we want robot getting lost. We want them spaced out enough that people don't know. It's just... But a different thing gets lost.
Weirdly, Coco, it seems, I think, isn't it like their first one Disney Pixar with humans in for a while?
Mm.
Inside Out, he's a human.
Yeah.
But like the main characters.
Yeah. Oh.
Like focuses on a little boy and his family.
Yeah. Because lots of them have humans in, like you say, with Toy Story and stuff, but it's
and
not
Monsters
about
Inc.
humans.
Does, but yeah, it's not about...
Oh. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just develop more films about humans, Joel. There you go.
Cool.
I don't think that would be...
No, I don't think that'll be very fun.
Nah.
Nah.
But they've done the Cars trilogy right, so now they'll just be like doing good films.
When you say they've done the Cars trilogy right, you meant right? Like, rather than they've done them right.
Am I right?
They haven't.
They did.
They did them terribly. Yeah.
They did them.
They did the automotive industry proud.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What about this one from Ellen?
All right.
The Girl on the Train to Busan.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So Girl on the Train is like a saucy thriller with an unreliable narrator who's a drunk.
Yes. We can all relate.
She's on a train of zombies.
Nice.
But
is she?
Because she's unreliable.
Yeah. I think maybe we should somehow factor in the new Liam Neeson and project The Commuter. Liam Neeson's fighting through a train of zombies. Have you seen the... Yeah. You've seen the trailers for this film.
Yeah.
They're on heavy rotation at cinema. Have you seen the trailer for this film?
Yeah.
Oh, my word, it looks...
It looks fucking dreadful.
It looks really bad, doesn't it?
Liam Neeson's films make me want to top myself.
They make me feel really sad. just when you think...
Liam Neeson makes me want to fucking top myself at the moment.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is very dumb.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Seeing him get eaten alive by zombies a la Dylan Moran in Shaun of the Dead, I would be really keen to see. So, actually, I think that's...
Yeah, he's on the posters with the gun and the long jacket... And actually, it's just a cameo where he's just like, I'll sort this out, and then the zombies just pile on top of him.
You've got Emily Blunt just sort of watching it going, and then having a blackout and not remembering it at all.
Maybe she drops acid or some sort of hallucinogenic, and that's why she thinks there's...
She envisions Liam Neeson.
Wait, so Liam Neeson's not real, but the zombies are?
Hang on. I don't know. Yeah, and she thinks Liam Neeson's there to save her, but he's not. And she does it on her own.
Oh, so it's like an empowering story. Yeah.
And we see Liam Neeson eating alive.
Oh, that would just be
great. He'd probably still get paid more, though. Yeah. 2-minute cameo.
Yeah. Doesn't Mark Wahlberg.
The Commuter 2. Journey Home. That's a thing. There you go. You heard it here first. I've got one here from Luke. This is the most fleshed out picture we've ever had. It's like a full paragraph idea for a film. And we don't really need to add anything or say anything to this. But I don't really know what Luke's trying to convey here. Right, I was really out.
Just bloody tell us.
So it's called Boundaries.
Oh my God, you're going to launch into a whole pitch right now.
When David joins his local cricket team, his ambition of making it to county level is soon quashed and is instead replaced by his undying love for Harry, the wicketkeeper. A tale of forbidden love in 1937, Boundaries is the heart-wrenching tale of love, heartache and what it truly means to be human.
I think this guy needs to go pitch this to Hollywood.
I know,
What's he doing on this podcast?
It's got like a Call Me By Your Name with cricket, Phil. Which, you know.
A bit of Beautiful Thing in there as well. Yeah, I'm a fan of this. I kind of don't see how it fits into this.
It's called Boundaries, and that's a cricket pun.
Oh.
And
that's why I don't understand it.
That's all right.
What do you know about cricket?
I went to see a 2020 match once. And it was like the day I came back from travelling and my then boyfriend took me and I was so angry that this was the thing that he wanted to do after having not seen me for 3 months. That was all I was thinking throughout the whole cricket match.
John, thoughts on cricket?
Just keep doing it, guys. My support, full support from me. Is that what you want?
All right. Do you want another one on a sport theme?
Yeah. Is it cricket still?
No.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's tennis.
Badminton. Oh, okay. I can get on board with tennis.
Okay. I mean, it's tenuous. Okay. Tennis-uous? Gerald's Game.
You oh, my God. Gerald. No. Don't talk to me about this film. I had full-on nightmares.
Oh, no.
I had, you know, have you seen it? With the...
Yeah, yeah. This is the one with the bed. Where yes. he plays the sexy game.
Yes.
Yeah, you can tell. You can tell I've seen a trailer for it. Another confession. We love The Rock. We hate scary films, John and I.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I heard you, yeah, because my boyfriend Mike was on your Halloween special, yeah. which I heard.
Which was a ludicrous idea, because John and I have seen, between us, no horror films.
Yeah, I think you'd seen three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Get Out the other day.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's excellent. There's anyway, less jumps in it, though. Sorry,
but Gerald's Game, is one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
It's hot. It's horrific. It still makes me cringe if you just say that out loud.
Anyway, Gerald's Game, but it's about the former tennis player, I think Austrian tennis player, Gerald Meltzer.
Okay.
Right.
This is sent in by Jenny, who's clearly just tried to find any famous Gerald, because it's quite a funny idea. But there aren't any famous Gerald, are
there?
Gerard.
Fuck!
Come on, mate. Gerald Butler. Do you think one of the go-to action men in Hollywood be called Gerald? It's absolutely absurd. Oh, the lead
sure
Spartan in 300. Gerald. Come here, Gerald. You've got to fight the Romans. All right. Gerald is the name of an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
That's
it's not looking
annoying.
Good for Gerald.
I'm now trying to think of, I'm sure...
There aren't any famous Geralds. I've done extensive
Have
research.
Have you actually looked this up
yeah,
already?
Yeah, yeah. I googled famous Geralds.
And
when you search,
did it come up with this?
When you search Gerald, just the word Gerald, this bespectacled fellow appears.
Yeah, imagine him fighting the Romans.
Who is that? Please, everyone now, Google Gerald.
I tell you what, London would fall if he was tasked with saving it.
Well, right.
Gerald Butler.
So, right.
You've really embarrassed yourself there, mate. You did a film degree.
And you don't, well, that doesn't require me knowing Gerald.
Can I just say, you had a film degree?
Yes.
All right. what comes up in the people also search for, Herbert, and it's the old paedophile from Family Guy.
Is that because they think he's called
Gerald? Yeah.
I think
it's just one of those old man names that only old paedophiles have in Family Guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, Tony Gerald's listening.
So sorry.
So without trying to dive too deeply into it, because we don't want to give Rihanna nightmares, it's a claustrophobia horror thriller thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you make that tennis?
Gerald Meltzer gets tied to a bed. Go on.
I saw a video the other day that my mate showed me of a man, and he was there to witness it because it was just outside Camden Tube Station, a man who managed to get a tennis racket over his whole body.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So he puts one arm, dislocates
it. Yeah, I've seen that before.
It's horrible. Oh, that is horrible.
Gerald Meltzer is trapped in a tennis racket. And he's got a big match. Gerald Meltzer's in a dressing room at Wimbledon, and he sees a video. He's thinking, I could do that. I've got 20 minutes before
dislocating all of it.
First serve, and he goes into a cubicle in the toilet.
Where does it start? Right in the middle.
Yeah, it's just him trying to get out of a toilet cubicle
with a racket around his waist.
Yeah,
I think you know, like they're three quarters of the way through, where like they're at the most pathetic and lowest.
Yeah,
is he has to walk out onto the court with the racket still around his waist.
Help. Or does he just play?
He plays and he wins,
of
and
course
that's
why he wins. Yeah. And that's the message. Never give up on your dreams.
Oh, that was the message.
Yeah.
Sorry, it wasn't clear from the description.
Alright, let's do what should we do ours?
Yes. Hans Labyrinth.
Hans or Hands?
Not Hans as in Hans. Like, Hans as in Han Solo.
Oh.
Oh.
I was thinking Hans, like the things on the end of your arm.
I was thinking Hans Christian Andersen.
There's just so many ways you can take this, John.
So not the German first name or Hans Labyrinth.
I hate to do this to you,
yeah,
but I would have preferred Pots and Pans Labyrinth.
What's that? Sounds like something you'd do as a kid.
Yeah.
Just go and rummage through the cupboards and make a Pots and Pans Labyrinth.
It's just a kitchen.
Yeah.
It's a
kitchen sink drama.
No, it's not. That's not what kitchen sink drama is, Joe.
The labyrinth is their relationship.
An emotional
tagline.
Labyrinth.
Yeah, it's an emotional labyrinth. that neither can escape
from. I've never had an emotional labyrinth before, I'll be honest. And now
gonna,
I have.
It's going to be in all
you're
the reviews.
Welcome. Next Q&A, Rihanna does. I'll be in the crowd. Hang on. Why is she asking about this film's emotional labyrinth?
Oh, the emotional labyrinth just got me.
At the bottom of our podcast, I'm going to put a review that just says, an emotional labyrinth, Rihanna Dillon.
One star.
I got lost.
Yeah. What, are you a Pixar film?
So, no, I'm confused. So it's Han Solo's labyrinth.
Yeah.
It's Han's labyrinth.
So does he... Maybe that Solo film that's coming out in May that sounds like it's a bit of a mess. I don't have an idea for it. It's just a pun, Joel. That's what you do every week. I come this week with just a pun and you expect me to have a film. That's not fair, is it?
Okay, it's Han Solo, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe instead of doing Pan's Labyrinth, we could do Labyrinth.
Oh!
Harrison Ford. In tight trousers.
No.
Singing and dancing.
Actually.
Oh.
You reacted too quickly to that. You didn't picture it.
I was thinking just about Labyrinth, and then, which I really don't like.
Oh.
I think, because I didn't grow up with it. I saw it for the first time as an adult, and so I didn't have all the nostalgia that comes with Labyrinth for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why are all these like ugly looking creatures? Why is everyone obsessed with them?
Yeah.
Why is David Bowie like lusting over a... this young girl.
Am I right in thinking you didn't like it because Harrison Ford wasn't in it?
That's probably
that was your takeaway. Yeah.
So now you said Harrison Ford in tight... whatever you said.
Tight anything.
Anything.
Even now. Like he's still got it.
Do you think?
You know, I interviewed him once. I met him.
How was he? Because he's notoriously tricksy.
So beforehand, they were like, don't ask him about this, that and the other. And I went in and he was like, so what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm a film critic. And he was like, oh. And he was like... well, you look lovely today. You're wearing a very pretty dress. Lovely shoes. And I was like, oh my God, I think Harrison Ford's flirting with me to get a good mock for his movie.
Harrison Ford has flirted with you.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I mean, joke flirty, but I'll take it.
I mean,
he is like 80 though, or whatever, so.
Yeah. Not in our hearts.
He's
or our minds.
He's a hunk.
He's a perpetual hunk.
Yeah.
That's the name, surely the name of his autobiography.
So Han Solo, I'm trying to get back on this film, and I really haven't thought about this.
Right, so Han's Labyrinth. So is it just all about, I mean, it's got to be something to do with good old Carrie.
She can be in it.
Yeah.
She can be in it retrospectively.
Oh no. I'm not sure about that.
Hologram of her in the middle?
He has to get to a hologram of her.
Are we just doing Star Wars?
Yeah, I mean, that's happened. The Carrie Fisher hologram thing is famously been done.
How about puppets of Yoda everywhere? I mean.
Jim Henson will get a good deal on the puppets, won't we?
Sure.
Oh, that's Han's Labyrinth.
Yeah. I just think that was terrible.
That was the worst idea I've ever come up with. I apologise, Rihanna.
Here's mine.
Okay.
So, Hollywood. You've got Dr. No.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Yes Man. So, you've got the initial James Bond film. And you've got the Jim Carrey vehicle based on a Danny Wallace book.
Okay.
For those that can't see, I'm doing the David Brent finger merge idea thing.
You did. Yeah. I can confirm. You did.
No, I don't know how this plays out. I don't know if like we introduce a Bond villain to the Jim Carrey movie, or is Jim Carrey James Bond?
I was thinking, or is it just James Bond, but he has to say yes to everything?
Well, he does, doesn't he? We're not questioning. He says yes to everything that Judy Dench throws his way.
So Dr. No versus Yes Man. And what is the big battle at the end? Is it just two men shouting yes and no at each other? Yes!
No!
And then at the end, one buckles and says, maybe? Right.
Maybe! That's the end, to be continued. How do you feel about that, really?
I feel not thrilled.
Oh.
But, you know, fairly entertained.
Right,
I'll take it. That's kind of a response to Jim Carrey's films for the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I was just also picturing him as like Ace Ventura in that as well, which just makes it a little bit more hammy, and I want to bring it back to the style of James Bond.
Because there's the one-liners already. Joel and I have been through this before, that James Bond saying the witty lines.
Yeah.
So it's just, he does that and then gurns at the camera. That's what he does, right?
Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey's never looked down the barrel. Like, just done his face to camera. That'd be mad.
He does when he says maybe at the end of the film.
Maybe. Straight down the barrel of the gun. Oh, I'd love that.
It's now the time to tell you that I've met Jim Carrey as well.
Yeah.
And he took out his false teeth to show me. His full tooth. You know, like in Dumb and Dumber, he has like a false...
Oh, he actually had that done, didn't he? Yeah.
And he took it out to show me. It was gross.
Did you ask him to do that?
No. I really didn't. And he kept being like, come closer. And I was like, no, I'm good. You can. I was in the Radio 1 studios. I was like, I can see it from here. And I didn't know what he was going to do.
I can hear the whistle.
And then he just popped it out.
Wow.
It was horrid.
I love Jim Carrey.
Is that how that started?
I didn't before that anecdote. Newfound respect.
Right, normally Joel and I give the listener shit for coming up with worse films than us.
Oh, but no, you guys definitely come up with the absolute worst.
Yeah. God, I feel bad about that.
I'm confused. Was a Hans Labyrinth your idea?
Yeah, sorry, Hans Labyrinth was mine.
I didn't understand that.
John?
No, I don't think John really understood it.
I thought that was a really good idea. I smashed it this way.
And what was your...
Dr. No versus Yes Man.
Oh, right, yeah.
Doesn't go much further.
We also had Brokeback Fountain, The Hitman's Bodyguard's Minder, The Girl on the Train to Busan, Glen Coco,
Gerald's Game, Boundaries, and hi guys, have you noticed that we are in the timeline from Back to the Future 2, which I'm not sure, that's a working title for the film. I'm not sure how you fit that on a poster.
That's when they just call it, like, during production.
Yeah. Although I would love it if, like, coming soon to cinema. Hi guys, have you noticed we're in the timeline from Back to the Future 2?
Hi guys.
Doc Brown coming back. Like, he looks down the camera at the audience in the cinema and he goes, guys, have you noticed we're in the timeline from Back to the Future 2?
Maybe.
Nice.
And then I think Luke's one.
Boundaries.
Boundaries is the best, but just as an actual film.
Yeah, like,
I think he emailed the wrong people.
He was trying to get himself an agent with
him. He's just been sat by his phone for so long. He just googles
your films and didn't look at any of the other information about this podcast.
We'll pass it on, Luke. We'll pass it on.
Yeah, Rihanna, which one do you think was the...
So I think the one that... My favourite, because it was involved Liam Neeson getting eaten to death by zombies, was The Girl on the Train to Busan.
That's elegant.
Although it wasn't actually my favourite title.
But... hi, guys. Have you noticed we've...
That was my favourite title.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Rihanna. That was so much fun.
You're welcome. That was really fun.
This is the point where you can plug your wares.
Oh, God, I'm so rubbish at this.
Thank you.
Okay, great. I do a podcast for Radio 4 called Seriously, which is a documentary podcast, so please have a listen. And I do other things, so follow me.
That's ominous.
Sounds like I'm trying to sell myself as like a...
Murderer?
Lady of the night. Okay, good. You meant murderer, I meant prostitute.
I immediately went to Jack the Ripper. I thought, is Rihanna just popping off to Whitechapel after this? I'll be doing... Are we up to you, Rihanna, after this? Other things.
Yeah, follow me at Rihanna Dillon on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was so much fun.
That was good.
And that's all we've got time for today, and we know that because there is a rat-tat-tat at the studio door. And who's that coming in? It's former professional tennis player Gerard Meltzer.
Followed by Glen Coco to explain whether he's dead or not.
He's holding two tennis rackets.
Two for you.
That was a fun episode.
Yeah, Rihanna's brilliant. She was talking about her... she briefly mentioned at the end her Radio 4 documentary podcast series, mm-hmm. Seriously, and I would seriously recommend it. I didn't want to overstate how great it was while she was in the room, but yes, it's really definitely get subscribed to that one. Have you got any chat? You got anything to say, Joel?
Not really, no.
Out of stuff.
I mentioned in the episode that I had my head rammed into a water fountain at school. You got any instances of that kind of thing you'd like to talk about? Anything bad happened to you at school? Did you do anything bad to someone at school?
So, this is weird. I was actually talking about this today at work. When I was younger, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the full context before we get to the end of this, because I think I am the hero in this story. primary school, we all had tennis balls. We'd play that game.
Didn't we just?
We'd play that game where it was like kind tennis. Of like ping pong. No, it was like ping pong with your hands.
No, we didn't play it. Who played
so you draw
that game?
A line on the...
No.
Really?
No.
Right. So you draw a line...
Don't listen. Bring me into we played this game.
Right. Me at school, you draw a line on the ground in chalk, and then you'd use your hand to bounce a tennis ball, and it would be like ping pong in the way that it had to bounce once on your side, once on their side, and then it bounced back.
So it's more like tennis.
Oh, is it more like tennis? Well, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe tennis for your
hands. The only difference between table tennis and tennis is the table. So you played tennis with your hands.
So, anyway. No, because there's no net, so you can bounce it as low as you like.
Oh, yeah, like how there's no net in table tennis.
Shut up! I have a little brother. He's 4 years younger than me. And this was when I was probably in year six, so he was like in year two.
Oh, what did you do to him?
Fucking kicked the shit out of him. No.
You're in the same school?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what's that like?
Me and my brothers all went to the same primary and secondary school.
What?
Yeah.
That's mad. What was it like being at secondary school? Were you ever there all three at the same time?
Yes. No. Yes. No.
Yes? Is it yes?
How many years are there in secondary school? Including
seven.
Sixth form?
Seven.
So yes.
There we are. No. Thank you very much for listening. Yes?
Maybe?
You were held back a few years, so you got to factor that in, remember? Anyway, you and your brother in the same year by the end of it.
Primary school. And I go back into the classroom after lunch and I see a tennis ball on the table.
Oh, great.
That's got my little brother's initials on it. And it's not. Obviously, jokes aside, I wasn't in the same class as my little brother.
Yeah.
And a guy who, I was going to say his name, I'm not going to, he'd clearly stolen it. And I went up and said, that's my little brother's tennis ball. It's got his initials on it. And he went, no. And I went, well, it's clearly his. It's got his initials. Can I have it? And he went, nah, it's mine. And then I was like, all right, well, I'll go talk to the teacher about it. And as I went to talk to the teacher about it, he left the room with it. So I then, rather than talking to the teacher, which would have been the responsible thing.
Yeah, it's a very John move as well.
Yeah, but this was a rebellious younger John, you know, soap in bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. I wish that John stood around.
So I followed him out and I pushed him up against the wall and got the tennis ball.
What?
Off him. And I thought it was all fine and sorted because I just thought, nah, you know, lads rough and tumble.
Yeah.
It's all sorted. I got the tennis ball back from my brother.
It was actually someone with the same initials.
No, he definitely didn't. That'd be so awkward. Yeah, my brother after school was like, I've got my tennis ball. What's this? No, it was definitely his. After school, as soon as I get in the car with my mum, she goes, I've had a call from the headmaster.
High five.
You're legend.
Mum, why are you holding all that ice cream?
And that's probably one of the two genuine physical altercations in my life.
Well, get ready for your third. I've just remembered something at primary school that I've probably not thought about in 15 years. There were two kids on the playground once, like chasing after each other. One of them stopped really quickly. And the other one went into him and lodged his tooth into the guy's head. So it was obviously a baby tooth. It must have been a bit loose, but he like went into the guy like open mouth and came away, and the tooth was lodged in a guy's head. How great is that?
Not great.
That's what it's like out on the streets, mate.
You had a hard upbringing, didn't you?
Oh,
teeth everywhere.
He's just surrounded by teeth all the time.
You collected them. Yeah. You're waiting for the big payday from the tooth fairy.
I still am. I've sent the invoice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.